All right, folks, welcome back to the Mountain Must Wire Football Podcast. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Matt Kennelly. Our website, if you're not familiar, get familiar, right, Matt? You should know what we're doing.
Always, always.
MWWire.com is where we're putting everything up there. Power rankings out for this week. All picks, we'll have previews, we'll have how good is Fresno State. They're pretty good, I think. We have everything on the site you need. Also, iTunes, Stitcher, all that great stuff. Basically, where you can find a podcast to search Mountain West Wire. And guess what, Matt? We magically appear.
Yes, that's very true.
It's magic how it works. So, we got we talked about the games before this weekend. I guess what we should talk about, since everybody's talking about, is like, hey, the Mountain West is awesome. Maybe we should promote it. Is Craig Thompson doing anything to promote the league, Matt? Anything better than normal? Which is anything?
See, you know, it's funny because I don't know if you saw the broadcast of the Fresno State game on Saturday. There was a lot of consternation as to whether he was actually there to quietly and secretly root for Minnesota, which apparently is his alma mater.
It is his alma mater, yeah. So is there a Bigfoot set? Do we have like grainy footage, like Bigfoot of him in his trench coat and his perfectly combed hair somewhere?
That hair, man. It's made for television. But I mean, to the conference's credit, they've done a pretty good job of pumping up the big wins that the conference has had in the first 2 weeks of the season against Power 5 teams.
Can we just not talk about Nevada and Oregon and be good?
The less said about that, the better.
Keep my mouth shut. No, they've been doing well. Like, there's been a bunch of pieces going about around, hey, they're doing this, they're winning these games, Boise State beat Florida State, the ACC victories, SEC, all those type of wins. Could be even better if Utah State didn't, turn the ball over a couple times.
That was rough.
What it's really good for, it's like, people complain, like I see, like, oh, they're playing all these crappy teams. I'm like, well, these are the games I said for years to schedule, right? Play, like Northwestern's game this week for UNLV. They're a bit better, but they're not great. You got Missouri, you got Wake, you got these teams. You beat UCLA, is usually pretty good. And they're not losing to the bad teams. I forget who said it. I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but like, basically, if you take away the top two teams from the ACC and Pac-12, Mountain West is basically on par with all those conferences.
Mm-hmm.
If not.
Yeah, maybe. Are you referring to the tweet from the dude over at UCF's SB Nation site?
I don't remember where I saw it from. I saw they did something for it, but we got back and forth. I hopped in, you got hopped in or made some tweets. But I don't remember where I said, but basically, if you take those two couple teams away, like the merit, maybe the merit was brought in there as well, but it's like, well, the Mountain West is not much different than if you take away like Utah and Oregon from the Pac-12.
Well, yeah, and I think his point was that the American to date has faced five top 25 teams or teams that were ranked in the top 25. But he failed to mention that they lost those games by an average of 30 points.
Yeah, there was that.
And it wasn't just the bad teams either. It was also teams like Cincinnati, who will probably be pretty good this year, getting shellacked by an Ohio State and things like that.
Yeah, I brought that in. Like, so how's Cincy doing?
2-8 versus 6-5.
Yeah, and again, the schedule might lean their way, but don't get blown out and maybe get some wins, right?
Yeah, and I mean, this week, I mean, this isn't the American Wire podcast or anything like that, but I mean, they've got opportunities to make up some ground this week, too. You know, just a real brief rundown through some of the highlights of their schedule for this coming week. You know, Friday night, Houston has a home date against number 20 Washington State. Temple hosts number 21 Maryland on Saturday morning.
Maryland.
and then UCF, they face off at home against Stanford, and they're getting KJ Costello back. So there are some opportunities this week for the teams at the top of the conference to make a little bit of noise. And if they don't, well, I think they can, you know what to expect from us on our end.
We'll play nice. We're good. But it's just weird. Like comparing back and forth. I get it. Like Tulsa did beat San Jose State, but like Tulane was fairly close to Auburn. So that wasn't 24-6 was fine. I mean, it's like not much difference than it's okay. Georgia Tech beat South Florida by 4 points. And Georgia Tech is what, last in the conference? ACC, possibly?
They were projected to be last in their ACC conference as well as Illinois.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. So, like, you got to beat those teams. Like, I thought South Florida was supposed to be pretty good. Usually they are, but.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I guess they're going back to what they were before. But, and every team in the Mountain West is playing. I don't think. Okay, we're not going to say Wake Forest is great, but they're not going to be last in the ACC.
Wake Forest is pretty good.
Missouri?
I've maintained that all along.
Yeah, though Missouri might be near the bottom. Well, no, people have Missouri be pretty good, but they're just bowl ineligible this year. And so, like, the teams they're playing aren't the bottom, but they're also not sort of Oregon. And, like, even USC, they might finish second or third. They're who knows what they are really with their freshman quarterback who did pretty well for Stanford, but UCLA, they're not going to be great, but it's, I'd say the schedule overall, it's like, it's comparable, right? I don't think it's that, maybe the American's slightly better for who they're playing, but again, get the W's, right? That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, because this is the Mountain West Wire podcast, this conference also has some more opportunities to put a few more feathers in the cap.
Yes, we'll get to the games in 1 second. One last thing I want to mention about the winning these games right time. I was reading what the Athletic put out, basically. Craig Thompson getting some congratulatory texts from, like, ESPN, CBS folks. So you might as well win now when you have to re-up that contract this upcoming year or so.
It looks a lot better for the product.
Which, who knows what they'll do. One thing he did mention really quick, earliest he'd go is 11 a.m. kicks, which is fine. Not going to Pac-12, potential 9 a.m. local Pacific. They did some 10 a.m. years ago, like, and then for that
they're doing some 10 a.m. Pacific time this Saturday, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Ooh, I forgot about that. So it's good to win. I don't know how much that'll impact there, but it's like it's better to win now to get closer to the American, or I don't know if they'll jump them in money wise, but get the wins now, get some good wins, and then see what happens on the road. Like get a team in the New Year's Six this year and go a long way, which I don't know if that'll happen. We'll see. Still way too early, but let's get to games. What's our first game? What's that 10 a.m. Pacific game we're talking about, Matt?
10 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. That would be Air Force at Colorado for the first time in over 40 years.
Pac-12 Network and game, if you're wondering.
Pac-12 Network, so good luck finding it.
Hey, we got our Fubo trial link. Go get that. That's what I do almost every week.
There you go.
You can get every Pac-12 Network. Mountain, Pacific, L.A., Bay Area, you're covered.
All right. Well, it's good to know.
Because I'm not sure, just the Pac-12 Network, so I honestly don't know if it's going to be the main one or like one of the splinter offs one. So with this game, why do they not play every so often? Every 40 years? What's the deal?
Maybe they figured beating up on Colorado State too often was enough in-state rivalry for them.
Oh boy. Whoosh, fire. Maybe,
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
I know, but yeah. Also when they play them every year, it's hard to see. Let's play Colorado State and Air Force every year.
And there you go.
It happened. They got Nebraska last week, which, sup, Nebraska? How you doing?
But this okay, game, so can we talk about that for a moment, though?
Always.
Because I feel like, as someone who watched pretty much all of that game against the Cornhuskers last week, the Buffaloes got a little bit lucky there.
Awesome.
You know, and there was a really interesting article that I think it was Banner Society wrote about the flea flicker Colorado ran in the shadow of their own end zone that went 96 yards for a touchdown. Really? You know,
if you missed it, go watch it.
And, you know, they were trailing going into the fourth quarter and needed a 17-point comeback to come all the way back and beat Nebraska at the wire. And, you know, thinking ahead to this week in the Falcons particular, it's not going to be the same kind of matchup. But I think what it's ultimately going to come down to is whether or not Air Force can limit possessions, because if they don't, you know, I know that when we've talked about Colorado in the past, like in the preview podcast and things like that, you've joked a little bit about Steven Montez here and there.
Oh boy, he had a good game last week.
He's been pretty good in the first couple weeks. You know, he's averaging over 10 yards of play or 10 yards an attempt. He's, I think, completing about 70% of his passes so far. So it's really been nothing to sneeze at. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the trio of receivers that the Buffaloes have. Obviously, Laviska Shenault's the big name, but it was, you know, we also mentioned Katy Nixon ahead of the Rocky Mountain Showdown, and he was the one who caught that 96-yard flea flicker last week. So we know that the Falcons have struggled defending the pass in years past. We know that they've especially struggled with limiting big plays in the passing game. And so, you know, if they are able to be efficient on the ground and limit Colorado to, I don't know, maybe, what, 7 or 8 possessions throughout the game, I think conversely, you know, if Colorado is going to be able to get huge chunks of yardage to be able to move the ball down the field against this defense, you know, we saw them shut down Colgate, but there's a big difference between Colgate and Colorado.
Yeah, and they've had the off week as well as some note for Air Force for them having the week off to go wherever the road trip is. It's not very far to get to Colorado, or Boulder, I should say. But what they noticed, like, you're right, limit possessions, it's kind of the same. You could say it's probably every week for Air Force, control the ball and don't let the other team have too many offensive chances to get ahead, like 17 plus points, because the Air Force offense clearly not built to come back to, in typical fashion. But one thing I didn't know is, like, Montez is playing well, but, like, everybody talked about Chenault so much. He hasn't been playing all that great this year.
He's been okay. It's been a little quiet.
Not for what people expected. Like, he had, like, he has only 79 yards and 8 catches all year. That's it. And half of those came on one play.
But I almost wonder whether or not that's by design, you know, because opponents spent so much time thinking like he was going to be the number one guy. It has had the effect of letting those other two guys thrive. You know, KD Nixon only has 8 catches, but he's averaging over 22 yards a catch.
Well, one's a 96 yarder, but still, he made the play.
True. And Tony Brown has 8 catches for 131 yards, too.
It's still an area of concern Air Force has to buckle that on, because the running game for Colorado has been just okay. Like, they manage only 90 yards versus Nebraska. And so,
that's true.
Secondary is where I think this game is going to be won or lost for Air Force. So they can slow down that passing game, maybe get the Montez, have, like, Jackson get to the backfield, get a sack or two, get some TFLs, limit him, because I don't see Colorado beating them with the running game.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we all know that Air Force has a very talented front seven.
Yeah.
But and at the same time, they've, you know, on offense, they've also benefited by, and then granted, they've only played one game, but, you know, Bill Connolly has, he doesn't have the complete stat sheet, regretfully, that he has. But one of the things he mentioned yesterday, we're recording on Wednesday afternoon, so this was on Tuesday on Twitter, that so far only Temple has a better havoc rate allowed so far. And that is something that Colorado hasn't really done much of. You know, to date, they only have 10 tackles for loss, which is tied for next to last among Pac-12 teams. So that's something that I think it can be notched in Air Force's favor if they can assert themselves. You know, they're probably not going to have like 11 or 12 guys running the football like they did against Colgate. But, you know, I think the keys to the game is basically, you know, can Caden Rimsburg and Taven Berto and company, you know, even if they aren't creating explosive plays, you know, are they going to be able to move the ball, move the chains, maybe convert, I don't know, 45 to 50% of their third down conversions, basically set themselves up continually to succeed, to move the chains, to keep that Colorado offense off the field.
Yeah, that's their best way. So with this game, what is it, a 4-point? It's a closer line than I thought it would be, isn't it? What, 3 points at the moment? 4 points?
Hold on. I had it and I lost it.
I lost it. I had the whole spread, the whole thing sheet in front of me.
Oh, okay, excuse me. Okay, so it opened at 1.5 in favor of Colorado. It is now Colorado minus 4.5.
Dang, a lot of people like Colorado.
And, you know, to kind of back that up, we don't have SP Plus projections at all, but we do have projections from FEI, and they have Colorado as a slight favorite as well by 3.6 points.
Well, even also FPI has a little bit more, 58% chance for Colorado. Mm-hmm. So I think this game will be close. And one thing we don't know, too, the quarterback situation, they threw one pass in their opener. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah Sanders or Hammond had, what, the 5 touches for 3 touchdowns on the ground. We don't really know what the quarterback situation is really going to be, if they're going to split back and forth, if they're going to throw, if they need to throw, which, so this could be really like what we saw a couple weeks ago. Or, well, I don't want to go into every scenario, but it's a possibility they don't need to throw versus Colgate, which clearly they don't. So they decided just to run the ball like they do. And so, I assume we're running it not, as clear the case, but I'm just wondering who will be running the ball and if the quarterback actually keep the ball.
Well, and to that point, you know, that's another one of those things where when you look at the numbers, that's something else that has worked in against Colorado so far. You know, they have only had 73 pass attempts against them, but they have given up over 9 yards per attempt. And we know that Air Force is obviously a run-heavy team, but if they can connect on those deep passes, even just once or twice, you know, Colorado has shown a susceptibility to that. So that's something else to keep an eye on.
I have a random question. Do you know the last time Air Force has beaten a Power 5 team?
I know that they've only won 1 out of their last 8 or 9. Isn't that right?
I'm trying to think. I just thought about top of my head because I was just scrolling through the Gazette. They mentioned like 3. If I read the article and see, they mentioned about Power 5 success against the conference. But they typically don't play that many either. Like, they played Oklahoma. They played Michigan. They always play Navy, Army, so it only really gives them 1 or 2 chances to play. It's usually an FCS school as well, so they don't really play that many Power 5 teams because their schedule doesn't allow for it.
Yeah, they're only 1-7 under Troy Calhoun against Power 5 teams.
I'm trying to look real quick because that'd be interesting. Didn't they play Notre Dame recently, a couple years ago?
I think they gave Notre Dame a ride. I don't think they actually won that game.
No, I don't think they won. I'm trying to remember what they did. But regardless, we'll move on. I don't want to just randomly look it up and see. I just kind of thought of that off the top of my head. But we know there hasn't been many chances, and they haven't done extremely well. So I have my pick already written down here. Let me pull up my handy spreadsheet here, or the our weekly thing going up. I have Air Force winning.
Okay.
Somewhat, a decent amount of points, 28-21.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the path where Air Force is able to kind of pull things out. I just don't know if I trust 100% their ability to contain big plays. And that was really something that carried Colorado against both Colorado State and Nebraska. So I think it's ultimately going to be a close loss for the Falcons. I'm going to say 31-24 in favor of the Buffaloes.
They're reasonably close, 31-24.
Yeah.
So you have them covering that. I think that four is too much, I think. I think this will be a close game. That's
four and a half, but yeah. That's
kind of, 50 points is kind of a lot, what we're kind of predicting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, excuse me, I had to mute right there. So you say, sorry, what's your score? You had 31-27?
31-24.
31-24. So you're wondering, our staff right now, because I'm putting in the scores at the moment, Air Force losing by you, standard, sorry, you hit Air Force. But what we're getting at here, kidding. There are three. I like how somebody picks overtime for a victory in these games because why?
I mean, I could see that.
I could see it too, but most people are kind of predicting about 50-point range. It's kind of a split right now between Air Force and CU who's going to get the win. So what do we got next year?
Next, we got Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m. It is, 11:30 Pacific, 12:30 Mountain Time. New Mexico. At Notre Dame on NBC.
We should also mention every game is Saturday this week.
Yes.
And there's only really one late game, which is kind of nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this game, the big news about this game, our buddy Roger Holand's having a piece up on Bob Davie. He explained what happened, like, not that he nearly died, but he almost nearly died after the game. But was a heart, he didn't say officially, but like chest issues, probably heart attack of sorts.
Scary stuff.
Scary stuff. He was out of it. This medical staff did great. Get him out there. He chatted. He's not coaching this week, which is kind of a shame because he coached at Notre Dame for, a decade just about.
Mm-hmm.
And had some decent teams out there. So head back to that stadium as a coach, not analyst with ESPN. But that's kind of a bummer. But obviously health is more important than that. But the game's not going to be close, right?
Well, Vegas does have Notre Dame favored by 35 points.
That is... I saw Darren Rovell's tweet earlier, I think today, from Action Network. I believe this is the second largest spread for Notre Dame in a long time. I'm going to try to find it real quick. It's like the second largest spread in decades for a home game for Notre Dame.
Yeah, the last time they were favored by this much, they beat Rutgers by, I think it was like 55-0, and they were favored by 42.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's the game, but come on, Rutgers. New Mexico... We'll see. I guess the main thing of, I guess what we're seeing in this game is, don't get blown out, but it's going to happen. Because there are wins, honestly, wins not going to happen. I think we can both say we're not picking New Mexico to win outright. To cover, we'll see what they do. Because Notre Dame is, a fringe playoff team, possibly. They're, top 10 in the country. They're in the mix, I would say, just because they're Notre Dame, decent schedule, and they got a pretty good team.
I tend to think Notre Dame's a little bit overrated, all things considered.
I do a touch as well, but they're still, top 15 then? You know what I mean? If they're not playoff, which I think they're on the outside, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with the game, I'm sorry, we didn't say who's coaching, too. Who's taking over the head coach? It's defensive coordinator, right?
No, I believe it's the offensive line coach, Saga Tuatelli.
That's right, sorry, offensive line coach, there we go. So he's going to take over, which... I guess that makes sense because the other two guys are brand new, essentially, like the OC and DC. So, I don't know what we're going to see in this game as for a perspective of who's going to play quarterback or not, because they played only two last week. Toyota didn't even play or 2 weeks ago, didn't even play in the opener. He's probably considered the best quarterback, the starter, but how much of the throw bows are we going to see in that? Are we going to see ultimate throw bows because they're going to need to pass to stick with the game?
I mean, ultimately, I think that's what it's going to come down to. And to kind of emphasize the quarterback situation, Steve Bergen had an update earlier today. They're still splitting reps between quarterbacks.
How many quarterbacks? Four?
All four of them.
That's not going to go well. They need to trim that down.
So I would guess that they will probably see at least one or two on the field. Coincidentally, on the depth chart, this, you know, Brant Hughes is not listed. So I thought that he might have been back in the mix, but I don't know if he's actually going to see playing time in this game. So at the moment, Sherrone Jones is the first name listed.
Okay.
But I would not be surprised if we saw Tavaka Tuioti or Trey Hall on the field at all. And I mean, I think ultimately what it's going to come down to is we saw in their opener against San Houston State that they weren't terribly efficient and they don't seem like they're terribly concerned with being efficient. So I think their upset chances are going to depend almost entirely on how many of those explosive plays they can connect upon, because it was very hit or miss against the Bearcats a couple weeks ago. And if things go sideways, it's going to be because, one, they can't hit on those big shot plays. And two, you know, alluding back to Bill Connolly's havoc rate, you know, where Air Force was really good at avoiding havoc, in their first game, New Mexico was a bottom 10 team nationally,
yeah,
with a havoc rate of 22% on offense. So if Notre Dame comes anywhere close to that, it's going to be a really long afternoon for the Lobos.
It is. And Notre Dame has off week, has only played Louisville, Labor Day night or Sunday night, whatever it was, the first week. So they've had an off week as well. Like, Ian Book did okay. Like, the rushing game was just okay. Like, they were just... They did enough to beat a not great Louisville team by 17 points. They did a little bit of a slow start, which maybe Mexico can do something, but I doubt it'll be enough.
And oh, by the way, the Irish had a 24% havoc rate in their opener against Louisville.
All right,
then. So, good luck. You know, New Mexico's offensive line is going to be challenged, let's say.
This game, I'm looking over at FPI, matchup predictor.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a guess what the percentage is?
Like 5%?
Oh, you're way too generous.
Oh, really?
1.4% chance to win for Mexico.
Okay, so I hate to pile on, but we did mention the line 35. On at Vegas being 35. FEI has Notre Dame favored by 34.7 as well.
It's a lot of points.
It is.
Number Fire has 43.4 to 11.5. So. Hey, Mexico could cover by them.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know. Like, what we really want to see is, like, if you lose by, here's the thing. There's two different ways to lose this game, because clearly they're not good. If they win, it'll be amazing. We'll be great, celebrate it. But we're being realist here. They could lose, let's just say, for example, 35-3. And it may not, there's two ways to lose 35-3. Well, there's multiple ways, but I'm giving an example here. What if Notre Dame just goes up like a slow build, 7-0, 14-0? You know what I mean? It's kind of a touchdown or two every quarter where they're going to score almost every drive, but it's not where they're going out and scoring in two plays on their first five or six possessions to go up 42 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the Lobos want to do is force Notre Dame to punt occasionally, which is what the defensive coordinator wants to do. But if you lose by a lot of points, don't make it where you're losing 35-0 in the first 20 minutes. At least make them work for points. If they score a touchdown, great, fine, whatever. It's not ideal, but don't allow them just to march down the field at will. Don't play Ole. Don't be a wet paper towel. Put up a force and stop them occasionally to make them work for those points. If you still lose 28-0, 35-10, 30, you know what I mean? Some score like that, not a big deal, really. Just don't be embarrassed and don't just let them walk all over you for those points. That's kind of, I know that's a pretty low bar to set, but I think that's where we're at here. And maybe throw for a decent amount of yards, and eventually you'll get some over the top, I think. Maybe.
Probably not.
One, maybe? I don't know.
It's going to be rough.
It is, but like I just want to like put up a fight. Like, if you lose by all the points, fine, but don't let them be 35-0 in the first five possessions.
So are you saying that they will maybe cover?
My pick, let me pull it up here. I need to go to my handy Google Doc here. I'm actually picking Mexico to cover.
Okay.
But 40-10 for Notre Dame.
I have zero hesitation about laying those points.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say the Irish win 52-7.
It's just a lot of points. That's my hesitation. It's a lot of points. However, Alabama crushed New Mexico State last week with their, 52.5, and they won by 60 or something.
I'm also going to remind everybody that the Lobos defense gave up 31 points to Sam Houston State. It's going to be a long
afternoon. You think Brian Kelly will pull it back a little bit because Bob Davey is a... What if Bob Davey was there? Would they pull back a little bit and not embarrass him? If he's not there, it's like, screw you. We're going to score as many as we want.
I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they pull back and they still score 52.
Oh, jeez. Where'd you put Lobos in your power ranking this week, Matt? It sounds like you put
them I think I had them dead last, if I'm not mistaken.
I put UNLV last on my list.
Or no, I had them next to last, excuse me.
So who's last, UNLV?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so next game.
Speaking of the Rebels.
Yeah, happened to be UNLV, right? UNLV at Northwestern.
Yes, it is.
Big Ten Network, 12:30 Pacific, whatever it is, Central Time, 3:30.
3:30 Eastern.
3:30 Eastern. Tony Sanchez did announce, or depth chart-wise announce, Armani Rodgers is a starting quarterback. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to, I assume if he's a starting quarterback, they're not going to throw 25 times?
For their sake, I hope not.
Doing a little quick article earlier in the week, you know, when they've thrown 20-plus more by Rodgers, they're only 3-6.
That's not surprising me at all.
Not surprising. There's two things. They're not, for the amount of starts, that's almost half his starts. Just under half his starts. So it's like, it's kind of a hit or miss. Like, well, maybe they are going to throw that many times because you would want him to be around 15.
Mm-hmm.
That would be most ideal. It's kind of like what we mentioned with San Diego State years ago and TBD this year. But like, if you're needing to throw to win, you're not going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the best running backs in the conference. They have Tylan Collins, a pretty good wide receiver. Get him the ball in creative ways. Maybe do jet sweeps or do the quick handoff as he's in motion to get him the ball more often. But if he's the quarterback, when they're calling the plays, you can't throw that often. You need to utilize his legs to move the pocket around. I get it. Sanchez is like, well, we can't hand the ball off every time. Well, you can be creative in the type of running plays you do. Nobody said you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And just mix it up. But that's the main thing. If they're going to stay with it, Rodgers has to keep the ball on the ground. And defense has to show up as well. But that's my point. Offense, calling the plays, just limit the passing unless it's like really necessary. You don't want to overdo it. That's a problem when they do.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I definitely think you're right. You know, it's kind of the same plan that we talked about a few minutes ago with Air Force. The difference is Northwestern in their opener at Stanford did not look impressive at all on offense.
Was it 17-7 or something?
It was 17-7. You know, they turned the ball over, I think, two or three times in that game. And they also, you know, they had a timeshare that was going at quarterback, but, you know, they lost TJ Green for the season. So for right now, the starting quarterback job falls to Hunter Johnson, who came in to the Wildcats with a lot of hype. He was a 5-star guy, I believe, transfer from Clemson. So he's definitely going to be the man. But against the Cardinal 2 weeks ago, you know, he was pretty disastrous. All things considered, I think he was, 6 of 17. TJ Green was 6 of 10. He only had 55 yards and threw two interceptions. So I think if you're looking for a place where the Rebels can get a leg up in this game, it's that, you know, they want to stop the run, because I think Isaiah Bauer is very clearly Northwestern's best offensive weapon. And, you know, he only had 10 carries in that opener against the Cardinal, you know, but he did average about 5.5 yards per carry. So that's where they want to start. I think they're going to focus on stopping Bowser, especially with that front seven, with all their contributors they have there. So I think if the linebackers can keep him from getting to the second level and they can force Hunter Johnson to throw, especially if they can create more obvious patching situations, which they didn't really have a lot of success with last week against Arkansas State, that, I think, is where this team is going to have a chance.
So one thing too, I noticed, like, not to go through like transit and stuff, but you had Stanford and USC. USC, obviously much more talented than UNLV, clearly. They wrote it up and scored at will against Stanford. Was it 45-20? And so if Northwestern, like, kind of, if you kind of compare a little bit, we only have one game for Rebels and Wildcats here. What if you kind of compare of what, like you mentioned, like where their strengths or weaknesses are at? And where they could barely move the ball for Stanford. They have a new quarterback now this week after they're off last week, But then if you kind of look what Stanford did against USC, who's obviously better than Northwestern, there seems to be ways where you have success if you kind of look at those both those results in a little bit of a way. You don't want to say yes, because this happened in Stanford, USC, and Stanford, and Northwestern, blah, blah, blah. But you could see where there could be a chance where maybe UNLV's offense could make some, have some success against this defense.
Yeah, and to kind of build off of that point, you know, going back to the fact that, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, they lean more on the running game. But Northwestern wasn't especially successful at stopping Stanford from moving the chains either. You know, if you know, obviously we know that Charles Williams has that explosive element, but I think it's going to be the efficiency that matters more, especially when you look back at week one and you see that the Wildcats gave up 7 of 16 third down attempts. At the moment, despite, you know, one game sample, so obviously that may be liable to some change, but it's the worst such figure in the conference among Big Ten teams. So that's something else that, you know, if UNLV can assert itself, if that offensive line can get a push going early and get Williams and Rogers and, you know, whoever else handles the football going early, they might have a chance. They might.
They're like 18 point underdogs too, Matt. You realize that?
Yeah, 18 and a half, I believe.
18 and a half.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying there's a path forward there because we kind of know what Northwestern is.
Yeah, I saw them like when they played Utah last year in the of the Holiday Bowl. They play good defense. Their offense is just meh. Like, and Utah had a bunch of backups in, so it's kind of hard to tell a little bit when they have the starters. But their defense is good, but the offense couldn't do anything. So yeah. UNLV, what they need to do is find. I think they have enough explosive players in offense to get a play, whether it's a Tyler Collins pass, because Rodgers can make a good throw. I just want him throwing all the time, like we already mentioned. With the running back they have, the talent they have, there's reasons that they could get a quick strike or have a good offensive drive to get some points.
Yeah.
My concern is that defense and secondary, even if Northwestern's offense isn't all that great, which is usually not more conservative there, they're going to need to make some plays, not let that offense get confidence. Like, oh, we can score. We're good. We can do this. It's going to be more of the – it's kind of both things. Offense, it's dumb to say what I'm getting at here, but there are paths to win. Like, offense can score points. They have enough playmakers. It's a defense that can't allow an average Northwestern team to expose them to get a lot of points early on in this game.
I mean, they need to avoid turnovers too. Clearly. And maybe that's an obvious thing, but – they really shot themselves in the foot early in that game against Arkansas State. And, you know, even though it didn't really matter against Southern Utah, you know, losing that, you know, I think it was like the safety and things like that in that game. They need to win the turnover battle or at least stay even. They can't afford to give Northwestern opportunities with a short field.
Correct. No, your depth is definitely for sure on that. So, I'm wondering if I may change my pick here, because I had a pick earlier, Northwestern, like in a blowout.
Okay.
Give me your pick here, and I'll think about it.
So before I do that, I just want to mention that FEI does have Northwestern as a pretty heavy favorite. They have the Wildcats by 20.7 over UNLV. I don't know that it's going to be a particularly close game. But I would definitely take UNLV plus 18.5 if I could get it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Northwestern 31, UNLV 17.
Okay. I'm kind of in that same range. I had it more of a blowout, but I think 19.5 is too much because part of it, Northwestern, I don't think they could score enough against most teams to have that type of lead.
Yeah.
Without shutting somebody out. So I'm kind of in your range. I'm going 30-13 for Northwestern.
All right then.
So where it's kind of interesting. So I guess, I don't know. Well, I could see, like, I'm not, like, most of my picks, I'm not liking this week because it's not great for the Mountain West overall for victory-wise. But I would not be overly shocked, like, if UNLV were to pull a subset. It'd be fairly shocking, but there's ways to how Northwestern plays. They're not a team that's going to blow you out, which means Rebels can keep it close. If they don't shoot themselves in the foot and stick more to Charles Williams, that's how they could possibly win. And so,
no, I could see that. I feel like it's a very, very slim road to victory.
Just so you know, nobody's picking Northwestern to win. I mean, UNLV to win. Only like one or two people have a big blowout in this game. I like Logan's pick. His is the best, 45-12.
There you go.
He has some interesting scores on this one. So, all right, let's move on. Colorado State at Arkansas. Fayetteville. Or no. Little, Fayetteville. For some reason, there's a weird... Doesn't Texas play Arkansas on Little Rock occasionally?
I believe so.
Sounds all right, which is weird. Because it's not like Little Rock's a big town. whatever. But it's on SEC Network. You know what the Rams are doing, Matt?
I do not.
They're trying to get back-to-back wins over the SEC.
Oh, that's right.
They came from
behind. They stole this one last year.
No, they came from behind to be victorious. They didn't steal anything.
That's well, yeah.
They had to come back to win, but this game, all right, Arkansas is a 9.5-point favorite, so it's on the road, so it's a little bit tougher. Like we mentioned, SEC Network, so check it where you can get it. Shouldn't be too difficult. They lost to Mississippi last week. They barely beat Portland State. And so, for me, I think the Rams have a shot in this one.
Arkansas is kind of a mess right now.
They've been a mess for a while. Did you see Bobby Petrino was back in town apologizing for whatever?
Oh my God, really?
Is he going to apologize for the Falcons quitting at halftime of Monday Night Football? Remember he just up and left?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing. They are playing two quarterbacks, essentially.
No, they got a new starting quarterback.
Oh, sorry, new starting quarterback. That meant my error there. So a new starting quarterback.
Ben Hicks has given way to Nick Starkle, starting quarterback.
Well, Ben Hicks, when he completes only 46% of his passes, that's
a yeah.
So, what we know from Starkle, he's doing decent, 72% passing. They run the ball okay, like Rakeem Boyd. But, like, being so close to Portland State gives me the thought that Arkansas might not win this one, even at home. Losing back-to-back to Mountain West teams would, like, be the... They'd be the laughing stock for a while in the SEC.
I mean, it's definitely a work in progress there for Chad Morris. But I think what I'm most interested in this game is whether Colorado State's passing offense can take advantage of Razorback's pass defense that has been okay through 2 games. Like, they're only allowing opponents to complete 56% of their passes. They're only giving up about 7 yards per attempt, which is good but not great. But they've also given up only 3 touchdowns against 3 interceptions. So that's one of those things that has worked out better than other things that are going on with this, with this Razorbacks team. So for me, it's that, you know, can the Rams avoid turnovers? Because that was one thing that has really kind of bit them a lot in this early going. You know, the only team with more giveaways in the early going is Hawaii. You know, 6 turnovers in 2 games is not going to cut it in the long run, especially when you're on the road in SEC country.
Oh, definitely, for sure. And so, like, is it really SEC country? Our play in Arkansas, is it really that tough?
It is.
You think it is?
I mean, it might be. I mean, going on the road is never easy. Let's put it that way.
But you mentioned, like, SEC country. We're going to Auburn. We're going to the Swamp. We're going to Rocky Top. Nah, whatever. This is Arkansas.
I mean, don't tell Arkansas fans that.
I just did. Just saying. If you're listening to Arkansas fans, whatever. Okay, but what I really want to see, like, you mentioned the passing defense for Arkansas. That's where I'm at, too. If Colin Hill shows up, and I want to see Warren Jackson give me a big game. See what he can do. Get him the ball. Get Marvin Kinsey Jr. He showed up a little bit better. It was Western Illinois, so it's like, well, what do you take from that? But he played a touch better. But I think the way to win is just pass over Arkansas. They have enough receivers. Like Connell, yeah, he had 4 TDs last week against Western Illinois. But that clearly, to me, is their strength of this team. The passing game has been great, well above average. Like Michael Gallup, Rashard Higgins, all these guys doing things in the NFL. Warren Jackson doing quite well for this team. And Hill has 700 yards, if my math is right, in 2 games, just about.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, it's not just Jackson. Like, last week, yeah, Dante Wright. Like, in our preview, or whatever CSU guys put up, I apologize, which I'm Brad or Josh, I forget. I apologize for not knowing who did what this week. But, like, he has 2 TDs and 10 catches. He's doing quite well. So, speaking of Dante Wright, one of his keys was get him the ball more. And they get him the ball, Jackson's there to get the ball, open him up a little bit. Or it could be, like, what we mentioned with Colorado with Chenault. He's covered. Jackson, you get Dante over here. If Kinsey can get in about 85, 95 yards or the top running back, there's ways they can win this team, win against this game. And I think I'm changing my pick here. Should I do it?
I mean, I think. Well, before we reveal to add to your point, you know, one thing that I want to see that I haven't really seen as much as I would have expected is the big plays in the passing game.
True.
Because, you know, he has Colin Hill has the 4th most pass attempts in the conference so far. You know, 79 pass attempts, but he only has 7 plays of more than 20 yards.
So you want to have some big time plays this weekend?
I think that's what it's going to take to put this game in a position where the Rams can pull away. And that, I mean, it's to his credit that he's still completing 70% of his passes anyway. And he does have the, you know, the best yards per attempt of any of those quarterbacks who have thrown a lot of passes in the first couple of weeks. He's averaging just under 9.5 yards per attempt. So it's not like he isn't making plays. We just haven't seen that many explosive plays relative to what you might have expected before the season started. So I'm thinking, like, if Colorado State really wants to bolster their upset bid, that's one thing I want to see, whether it's from Jackson, whether it's from Wright or EJ Scott or Nico Hall or whomever.
So what is, like, looking at this game, what does Arkansas do that's good?
You mean besides defend the pass?
Yeah, I mean, is there anything else that's, like, scared, that should scare Colorado State?
Hard to say.
That's my point. It's like, I know the Rams defense isn't great, so there's chances for that Morris offense who wants to score points to get something against them, but it seems like they're just okay in most areas. Like, nothing really stands out for me for this team.
No, I mean, and to that point, you know, they were middle of the pack as far as opponents' passer rating, but they're also middle of the pack as far as yards per carry allowed as well. Mm-hmm. And granted, that's only 3.85, which is, you know, on the upper end of things nationally, I believe. So that might be something else the Rams want to be aware of, because we've seen them scuffle to get the running game started in years past. And if it's the kind of situation where maybe they get out to an early 7-0 or 10-0 lead, and the Rams have to rely on the pass to catch up because they can't rely on Kinsey and McElroy in the backfield, that might be another trouble spot. But again, it's really hard to say just how likely that is to pan out.
All right, I'm making a change here. I'm going to pick stupid upset pick. I'm taking Colorado State for the win.
All right.
Before here's what I have currently written down on our Google Doc. We'll post later today for everybody's picks. Or whenever you're listening to this, it should be up. I had Arkansas 30-24. I'm just going to flip it. I'm going to say Colorado State 30, Arkansas 24.
I mean, I think it's telling that the line has dropped to 9.5 from 13.5.
13? How could I? Geez, 13.5? Holy crap.
No, it opened at 13.5.
I know, I'm just saying. It opened, like, geez, where I missed that one.
But, you know, FEI still has the Razorbacks favored by 12.7 in this game.
I just don't think they're that good enough to get things done. Like, Arkansas can win, clearly. I would say 100% confidence there's no way they'll cover the 9.5. Like, this will be a one-possession game.
I guess I could see that. Because I might still be hedging my bets a little.
Here's one thing too, real quick. Colorado's better than we thought, and the Rams put up 30 points against Colorado, and they seem to be a bit better team.
That's true, but they also gave up 52.
Arkansas, I don't think Arkansas can do that though. That's my thing.
I might still be hedging my bets a little bit.
So what do you got?
I would take Colorado State plus 9.5.
Okay.
But I would take the Razorbacks to win outright. So I'm gonna say 28-21. In favor of the Razorbacks.
28-20. Are you going to say overtime at all, or just stick it there, 28-20?
No, I just go with the final score. I'm not that much of a prognosticator.
All right. Okay. Moving on. Former FBS Idaho Vandals, current FCS, traveled to Laramie to take on the Wyoming Cowboys, who are 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
They are... Where'd you put Wyoming this week in your power poll?
Autumn broth top man.
Wow, you don't remember?
No. Okay. I definitely had them in the top half, I can tell you that.
I put them, I posted it earlier today, our new rankings are out. Actually, no, I will not get to them because I don't see them at the moment. Maybe I didn't hit submit. But they're number 2 overall, Matt.
Interesting.
No, excuse me, sorry, I apologize. No, I'm looking at last week's. Number 4, they dropped from 3 to 4.
Such a tease for the Cowboys fans out there.
Sorry. I apologize. Jeez. Yeah. Come on. Hawaii beat another Pac-12 school.
I know. I'm just giving
Utah State beat Stony Brook, apparently, so there's that. But this game, like, what is there to say about Idaho? It's like, well, I mean, I guess here's what I want to see. We'll make this one short because there's no reason to go too in-depth on it. Can Sean Chambers have a decent passing game? And by decent, at least 50% completion rate.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that the Cowboys are going to really have to watch out for in this game is that Idaho does have a decent, if not exciting, running back duo in Andre Carter and Roschon Johnson. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you paid attention in week one, you saw them get smashed by Penn State. I think they lost, like, what, 79-7 or something like that?
A lot too little.
But they did rebound to win last week against Central Washington, and those two combined for 234 yards on the ground. It was the first time, actually, since 2004 that Idaho had two runners with over 100 yards in the same game. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I don't really see anything else that, Idaho's fine, maybe, for an FCS team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should also mention, too, that they do have a receiver in Jeff Cotton, who at the moment ranks number one in the FCS ranks with 11 catches per game.
It's pretty good.
And he's averaging 114 yards per game. And even though Antonio Hull is still away from the team, I really don't see any of Idaho's playmakers giving the Cowboys that much of a problem on defense. I don't know, though, that I would favor Wyoming minus 25. If only because it is. Yeah, it started at 26. It is minus 25 in favor of the Cowboys. Just because we've seen them scuffle at times against FCS teams in the past. So I do expect them to win the game pretty comfortably, but I would probably take Idaho in the points in this one.
I think as well. I'm thinking like 30 to 13.
Something like that, yeah. Like 30 to 10 even would still cover.
Yeah, it's just I think it'll be close enough where, like I said, Idaho has a good receiver. They'll get some points. Wyoming's not an explosive offensive team. Similar if you go back to that Northwestern game we talked about, like they could win, but it might be like a lower scoring game.
Not terribly likely for.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but you know, I mean, that's that type of way the offense plays. Wyoming plays offense. You're not going to be a team that scores 50 points.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, for Bill to mention, it's ESPN3, so it's a free game. Check your streaming device or whatever how you get it. 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock local time there in Laramie. You want to know a fun fact?
What's that?
This game. To get in to watch this game in person at famed War Memorial Stadium, $23. However, going to Arkansas, Colorado State, only $20.
Interesting.
I wonder if that's the proximity-wise of Idaho fans going there to Laramie. That's still a long drive up there from, Pocatello?
Yeah, I bet it's just because they can't give those tickets away to Arkansas football right now.
Oh, okay. I was trying to be nice to the game, but okay.
And I've been there, believe me.
You've been out there, Dark. You've been to a game there, or just
no? I'm just saying I've been in that situation.
Oh,
where a team can't give tickets away.
So you mean you're not referring to a Tim Drewitters finally, are you?
I am.
Oh boy, red wave was not really a wave there. It's more of a red. What's up?
Yeah, exactly.
So Wyoming wins clean, wins easily. They'll be 3-0, which is a pretty big deal for them. They'll be halfway to bowl eligibility. Next game, also ESPN3, 5 o'clock local. Or 4 p.m. local Pacific time, that is. Nevada Wolfpack hosting Weber State, who we're familiar with, who nearly upset San Diego State had they got a touchdown.
That's true. I don't think we mentioned in that recap podcast that they had a 100-yard kick return was called back on a penalty.
We did not. Oh, I must have missed that. No.
Whew. How motivated do you think Nevada is going to be for this game?
Well, they better be. Losing 77-6. They're going to want to punch somebody in the face.
That's true.
And knock some people over.
You know what's really surprising, too?
What's that?
This game opened as a pick.
What?
It opened as a pick, but Nevada is currently minus 9. So people must have bet the Wolfpack pretty heavily in the first couple days.
They should have. But here's the thing, too. You know how I mentioned Josh Davis? Running back. Freshman of the year last year. All-American.
Mm-hmm.
He was shut down for San Diego State, which is expected. He had 129 and a pair of touchdowns last week when they beat Cal Poly. So, again, I'll mention him again. He's a guy that Nevada needs to look out for because their defense is nowhere near as good as San Diego State.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, we've seen in the first couple of games that Nevada has really struggled to contain passing games. You know, they did make some second-half adjustments against Purdue, but they got absolutely torched by Justin Herbert last week. And while Jake Constantine isn't obviously that same caliber, you know, if you watched that San Diego State game in week one, they didn't really take many shots down the field against the Aztecs. And I would not expect that to be the case this week. So there's going to be, you know, some responsibility on everybody in that defensive backfield for the Nevada to step up and make a play. Because at the moment, they're giving up 9.5 yards per attempt, and they've already given up 11 touchdowns. So, you know, something's got to give at some point. And I would guess that it's going to be this week and that they'll take a step in the right direction.
You would think. Last week, Constantine was efficient 17-23. Again, Cal Poly, they still run. They don't run. Is that what's his name? Dan Hawkins school now?
No, that's UC Davis.
Dang it. Cal Poly, UC Davis. Okay. One note as well, Davis had the 129. They also had a backup, or I guess running back number two, go for over 120 yards as well, or 114 yards in Kevin Smith. So, running game needs to be on points. The passing defense needs to be aware, because I don't think Constantine will be able to beat them that bad, but he's been pretty efficient when he plays. And Nevada's defense is much closer to Cal Poly than San Diego State. Still clearly well above the FCS, though, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Josh Davis get a touchdown or so. Like, that pick'em was surprising. That would have been awesome to get a pick'em in that game just because. But Nevada should win. But like I said for San Diego State, don't be surprised if Weber State hangs around in this game.
I mean, I think that they've seen enough of Weber State to know that they don't want to take them lightly, too.
You'd hope so. And yeah, combined with last week's result, 77-6, again, I'll say it.
So do you think the Wolfpack can cover -9?
Yeah, they'll probably win like 24-10, I think. 24-7, maybe.
Yeah, I think they'll probably score maybe a touch more than that.
Maybe even 30, possibly, but I'd say at least 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm going to say 31-20 in favor of the Wolfpack.
Well, close there.
So they'll cover. They'll win pretty comfortably, at least by a final margin, but I think that Weber State's definitely going to make them work for it.
Okay, I hear you. All right, so next game, what do we got next year?
We're going to Seattle for Hawaii at Washington. 4:30 Pacific, 5:30 Mountain Time on the Pac-12 Network.
So get your Fubo free trial from our preview. Check that out, because I'll definitely need that again. But, okay, so do you know how late the game ended or started last week for Washington versus Cal?
Wasn't it like 4 a.m.?
Eastern. It started, there's a lightning rain delay. It didn't start until 10:30 Pacific.
Yikes.
So I know a few buddies like Utah, or not Utah, BYU was playing Tennessee, and one of the buddies I work with, he's a Washington fan, and so it's Eastern time out there in Knoxville, and so he's just woke up like at 3 a.m. or something. He's like, what's going on? This game's still going on? I think he ended up watching a tiny bit of it, but he went to sleep, woke up at almost 3:30. He's like, this game can't still be going on. What's the deal?
Well, I think it was a rain delay, which is why it started so
late. Yeah, it was rain, lightning weather, but Cal beat them back-to-back years. Just Wilcox doing something good there in Washington, or excuse me, Cal, to figure out Washington.
I still don't know how they did it either.
Washington's not that good.
I don't know. It's really weird.
Also, if you're wondering, $13 to get into this game. Well worth the price of admission, right?
Yeah, people must be down on the Huskies, I guess.
At least this game kicks at a reasonable 4:30 Pacific, so if there's a delay, they're good to go. This line, like, it's 21.5 points. I don't think Hawaii could win this one. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Jacob Eason will kind of carve up this defense that Hawaii has. But I'll say this every week. Never give up on a Cole McDonald-led offensive team, because anything can happen.
See, here's the thing, though. This is going to be the toughest defense they face all year long.
True. Bye. They play San Diego State better than them.
I think Washington's defense is probably better than San Diego State's.
Okay, all right.
I mean, what I don't understand, and I'm trying to figure this out, is I think on a per-play basis, they actually outgained Cal and still lost the game. It was relatively even.
How does that happen?
Yeah, they outgained Cal by, like, I don't remember. It was like, I think it was by, like, a yard per play or something like that.
Cal even have an offense? That's my point. Like, what's the deal?
Cal does not have an offense. Cal has a sensational defense of their own, too.
They already stubbed somebody to Pac-12, but they beat Oregon, Utah in the playoff. Oh, yeah. Beat the Ducks. Wouldn't that be I'll nice, think huh? Utah plays Cal this year. That'll be an interesting matchup later on. So,
but see, here's the thing, though. In two games, Washington has still shown that they haven't lost any of their potency when it comes to defending the pass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, granted, you know, Eastern Washington and Cal isn't necessarily a very tough slate of passing attacks. And Cole McDonald is probably going to get his. So, yeah, I could see a situation where Hawaii is able to keep up at least for a little while. But I have serious doubts about, like you said, whether or not they're going to be able to contain Jacob Eason in that passing game.
If they're going to win, like, if they're, like, the way Hawaii plays, I wouldn't be so shocked. I'd be mildly shocked if they pull off the upset, but I wouldn't be just freaking out, going crazy if they were to get this win. Because I think the weirdness of Hawaii, like, Cole McDonald needs to be probably near perfect. He can't do what he did versus Arizona, clearly. And Oregon State can't keep stalling out, and kicker's got to make the kicks. Can't miss too many field goals on there. But I think what – I just don't trust Cole McDonald. That's my problem. How much do you trust him?
I mean, I would trust him more than maybe I would trust the Hawaii defense because, you know, obviously, Eason is the headline name, but they've also got a pair of running backs in Salvon Ahmed and Richard Newton who – you know, their numbers don't necessarily light up the stat sheet, but between them on roughly, you know, 55 to 60 carries, they're averaging over 5 yards a carry. And we just saw last week that Hawaii really had no answer for Jamar Jefferson.
Correct.
So even if Eason can't get it going right away, if Washington can assert itself on the ground, which is a very real possibility, I just feel like Washington has more ways to beat the Warriors than the Warriors do of beating the Huskies.
Could we compare this game potentially to Fresno State Hawaii last year?
I think that's fair, yeah.
Because Fresno had Patsy McMarion, pretty solid running game, great defense, and Hawaii only put up 20 points while losing by 30.
Yeah.
And so I think that when you see Hawaii when they play good defense, like I don't want to mention – I mentioned San Diego State, but last year they were not great end of the year with the win, the Hawaii win I should say. I think this could be more, if it gets out of hand, it could be more like the Fresno game than it would be anything else. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll get that out of hand, but that I think that's a potential. There's a wide range of outcome for this game.
See, I don't think that there is because, you know, we both know that Arizona and Oregon State aren't like the cream of the Pac-12 crop, but the only team so far allowing more yards per play at the moment in the conference is Nevada. You know, Hawaii's given up 6.6 yards per play, and if they do that against Washington, they're going to get blown out.
Well, my point is, like, it's either going to be a close Hawaii win or a huge blowout.
So what do you think?
I'm going Washington. I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't be stupid, right?
So Washington is favored by 21.
Yeah.
And FEI projects them to win by 26.2 points.
Let me quick number here. Power index, 6.8% chance. That's it.
So do you think they're going to cover?
Yeah, they'll cover. I actually think it's going to be sort of close. I'm picking 40 to 31.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be close.
No, oh man.
No.
Am I wrong?
I just think it's going to be a long afternoon for the Warriors, too.
It's their first road game. They're going to be pumped for it. They're 2-0, playing a ranked Pac-12 team.
I'm going to say 30. No, that wouldn't cover. I'm going to say 41 to 17. In favor of Washington.
Am I just following Nick Rolovich and thinking they'll be good just because?
I just think in this particular matchup, it's a bad matchup for the Warriors.
I do, but I think they can get points. That's why I think it'll be sort of close.
All right, then.
Actually, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to go 40 to 21. That still covers.
Okay.
I'll change that because as you're talking, I think about watching that, how brutal that second half of Oregon State was, and that was not fun.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we got next? We have a couple more here. A
couple more. First up, we got San Diego State at New Mexico State.
Oh, boy. Good luck finding this on TV.
5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain Time on Flow TV.
Or, like, Fox Sports Arizona, whatever that is.
Yeah, all I'm seeing is Flow TV.
We're just going to go with that. Let me double check here, because I know on the Mountain West website they had it on there. But regardless, this should be a fairly convincing victory for the Aztecs, right?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, they are favored by 15.5, right?
Oh, right here now. It is. Fox Sports Arizona Plus. So, yeah. Whatever that is.
There you go.
So, okay. So, what do we know about New Mexico State here? They are independent. They like to play the Mountain West occasionally. We had the Aggie Bowl a couple years ago. They might soon be FCS team, right?
I mean, you would think so.
We'll see.
See, here's the thing. It's really hard to tell, you know, just how good or bad New Mexico State is because their first two games were at Washington State and at Alabama.
It's a so, pretty good opponent there.
Yeah, so the fact that they have given up over 9 yards per play and lost both games by 51 and 52 points, you know, obviously the Aztecs looked a lot better on offense, especially with the passing game, than they did in their opener against Weber State. But I don't think anybody is out there trying to claim that they're on the same offensive level as the Cougars and the Crimson Tide over here.
Fact.
And we know that they had a lot of playmakers coming back on the defensive side of the ball. You know, whether it's Cedric Wilcox on the offensive line, whether it's, you know, Rashee Hodge at the linebacker position. But again, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know that New Mexico State is going to be able to do much on offense, because I feel like this game is probably going to skew a lot closer to Weber State in the sense that San Diego State has basically given up almost nothing on defense.
Yeah.
And going back to what I mentioned before about, you know, havoc rates, right now on defense, they are sixth nationally with a 26% havoc rate. For an offense that has struggled in the first couple of weeks like the Aggies have, it just seems like a really bad matchup.
It does. We don't know how the Aggies are. I think it's going to be, like, you can't look at the numbers. If you lose by 50 points, what are you going to say? It's like, well, we kind of know what they were last year. Defense wasn't great. Offense has bits and pieces here and there. They can do something based on last year. But I think it's going to be lower. Like, 15 and a half is too much. I'm going 28-14 for San Diego State.
See, I think that this strikes me as the kind of game where San Diego State could get like 10 or 14 points out of turnovers in a short field.
Yeah.
I think the only thing maybe they have to watch out for is Jason Huntley, because he's had an okay start to the season. Like, he only has 12 carries, but he's averaging over 5 yards a carry. And they've given some action to other guys in that backfield, like freshman Josh Foley, who's averaging over 7 yards per play. But again, I don't know if the Aggies are going to offer much more beyond Huntley. Like, Josh Adkins, I don't think, is a very good quarterback, and he's already thrown 3 interceptions, and that just seems like the kind of offense that the Aztecs can feast upon. So I am going to take the Aztecs. I'm going to lay 15.5, and I'm going to say, 34-13.
Ooh, all right then.
We'll go with that.
That is a large victory. All right, final game of the weekend. It'll be quick, right?
Yeah.
Portland State at Boise State. Win by
7:15 Pacific, 8:15 Mountain Time on ESPN2.
Hey, it's only a late game. You don't have to stay up late for Hawaii. So spend your evening accordingly if you want to watch just a tiny bit of this one, right? We won't blame you. Won't judge you.
So do we even need to talk about this one? Or do we just need to discuss whether Boise's going to cover 31.5 or not?
A little bit. The only thing I want to mention is, like, Marshall was okay, but there were issues last week, like missed opportunities, penalties, calling back touchdowns, missed field goals, bad passes. So I just want to see them tighten everything up against an opponent that's not very good. That's why I want to kind of see what happens. Maybe get figure out who's going to be maybe Van Buren, a couple extra carries running the ball, but I just want to see them have a more clean game overall.
Well, I mean, let's not forget, though, the Portland State scored 70. Against a Canadian football team last week.
Interesting. Why did they play them?
Simon Fraser. If I remember correctly, they are a school in British Columbia. I think they're the only Canadian team that's part of the NCAA.
The Division II, it looks like.
Yeah. So it's not like Portland State is hopeless.
No, yeah,
they also gave Arkansas a challenge on the road too.
Yeah, was it 10? What did you say? 17-7? 17-10?
Yeah.
And 2013, there we go. Got it.
And while I don't think Boise State's going to be challenged for much more than maybe a quarter, you know, what I want to see is I want to see them clean up the things that have really kind of hampered this team in the first couple of weeks. So I want to see them protect Hank Bachmeier.
Yes.
First and foremost. And I just want to see them just clean up the discipline too. Like, they had, you know, penalties that took away a couple of big plays last week against the Herd. But if they could do that, I think they're going to cover 31.5 pretty easily.
It's 31.5?
It is.
That ruins my pick. I was going to go like 40 to 10.
40 to 10?
I don't think they will. I think they'll win conventionally, but not by that many.
No, I think they're going to beat Portland State pretty handily.
So what do you got? 70 to 4 or something?
No, not like that. I don't know if they're going to drop 70 on the Vikings. I'm going to say 42 to 10.
Okay, that's pretty
We'll call it a backdoor cover.
Okay, all right, that works. All right, I think that's all we got today. There's no more reason to discuss that game. We talked about how the Mount West is crushing it, so good for them. Will they get are they going to get a Power 5 win this weekend?
Well, I mean, we went to our picks. Listen to our predictions.
Most likely, sorry, let me rephrase that. What's the most likely? Is it Colorado losing Air Force? Is that the most likely victory?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, as you pause, I'm like, yeah, dummy, we already did our picks. What do you think?
I mean, in order of likelihood, I would put it like this. I would say Air Force, Colorado State, Big Gap.
Yes.
Hawaii, another Big Gap, UNLV, New Mexico.
Then a Big Gap for Mexico.
Yes.
Okay, I was curious about this one here. So you're saying between the two games, UNLV and Hawaii's game, you give Hawaii a better chance to beat Northwestern? UNLV beating Northwestern?
No, I would give Hawaii a better chance of beating Washington than I would of UNLV beating Northwestern.
No, that's what I mean. I was kind of surprised. I kind of might possibly flip that because of the way those teams play. I think it's closer. You mentioned a huge gap. I think it's kind of close. But we'll watch and see, right? That's
how it works. I guess so, yeah.
Okay, I'm kind of in the same with you. Colorado, Hawaii, UNLV, or excuse me, Hawaii game, UNLV, Mexico, blah, blah, blah. Actually, no, Colorado State's up there too. I think I did pull the upset, so I guess they're my number one team, right?
I guess so.
Upsets. I get two upsets this week. Dang. My picks have been pretty good, so I gotta be careful. I can't just go crazy now, right?
Hey, if you're feeling yourself, you'd be as crazy as you want.
I guess so. All right, so that's all we got for today. Okay. That's what we got for today. So, as I repeat myself 5 million times, because my... Gotta get going here. So, MWR.com, that's our website. Check us out. Subscribe to the podcast. Check out the website. Visit Twitter, because we have a lot of stuff going on Twitter. We like to have some fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like to argue a little bit.
Let's argue a lot. Let's be real.
Hey, we are 2-0 in arguments this year easily. Nebraska, American versus P5, right?
There you go.
So far, as I jinx it, as we lose maybe everything this weekend, but that's not the case. But thanks for listening. Tune in next time, and we'll be back, I think, to our regular schedule Sunday morning-ish, depending where you're at. Maybe early afternoon, depends how long it takes to upload. But we'll see you then, and enjoy the weekend. Have fun with your games.